Warning, this podcast contains heavy spoilers for not just one movie, but entire franchises. We highly recommend going and watching these movies before listening to us as a companion piece that stitches all the timelines into one creepy, crime-ridden story. There will be no more spoiler warnings. We do not break character. After this, there is no turning back. You've been warned. Hit the music.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Hello and welcome to It's Alive Alive Podcast. This is a true crime paranormal interstellar podcast covering unbelievable stories that sound like they were ripped straight from the pages of a Hollywood script. I'm your host, the man of many names, the outlaw Harley Ray, the Bruiser Bronson, Dr. H. George, Smoking Steen, THC, or you can call me Josh for short. And with me as always is my very own Squeam Queen.
Squeam Queen.
My Squeam Queen, the perfect combination of beauty and brains. The Indian of Hour, the expert of guts and gore. The gorgeous, the sexy Amy Rose. And that is my best intro yet. And we got our internet back.
We did.
We got faster internet. Uh-huh. And the first thing I did to test it was I went in, put on the Pacific, because remember last time we watched that, it kept stalling on us at the highest level, so I put it at the maximum quality, and I watched it buffer super fast. And it was awesome.
Amazing.
And no stuff I uploaded all the podcasts that I've been missing for the last few days.
How far have you
And they just went up in seconds. Just
nice.
Up, ready to go. But I'm not ready to go, and I need another week with the script. So you suggested that maybe we give them
the new format.
The new improved Real Monsters. If you haven't been on our socials and haven't heard the weekend update, because it was only on socials this weekend, it's up on Spotify, Apple, and all the other places now. But we have reformatted Real Monsters from being strictly a one-subject true crime show that was kind of boring me a little bit because I couldn't do it better than it's already been done. I couldn't give you new information. We thought it'd be more fun to take the mini monsters that we do every week, the mini shows we do every week, and give them a bit more meaning. And Amy is now going to go through in the new show and the new Real Monsters. She's going to go through the four topics again, but this time I'm going to get to comment on them. I'm going to get to jump in. There'll be no creepy music. It'll be just me. I get to ask the questions. I get to jump in with stuff I might have read or heard about myself in the meantime. And we'll go through the mini monsters. We'll dissect the mini monsters a little bit. In Real Monsters, the new and improved Real Monsters. So we'll see how that works. I'm looking forward to that. I have notes.
Should be fine.
So that's what we're doing this week. And the only reason, and the other side of it is because I we're starting a new subject next week. I'm really excited about it. And it was just a kind of thing of, I thought it was going to be a two-parter kind of episode. And now I'm looking at it and it's like, this could be three, this could be four, this could be five. I don't know, this could be the longest one we do yet. Every time I dig a little, I started this subject looking at one killer and then found out 2 years ago that they pinned the wrong guy, and now there was a different guy who was actually the killer, and his backstory was far more interesting than the original killer. So that's a little hint at what we're doing next week.
Yep.
And I got so deep that I could tell you certain people's expiry dates on their fucking passports. I don't know how that information is up on the internet. But I can tell you licenses, I can tell you passport expiration dates, birth dates, death dates, for hundreds and hundreds of people that are involved in this fucking story. So I need an extra week to dwindle that all down into something we can manage.
Yes.
But I've already started and it's sounding really, really good. I'm looking forward to next week. So that's next week. But this week we are going to give you the first episode of the new and improved Real Monsters for free. And this week we will be going through Crop Circles, William Suff. What's the other one?
La Voisin.
That's all French. I hate French. And last one is Elizabeth Bathory. I'm looking forward to that one because I watched a documentary about her too. So sit back and enjoy that, and we'll be back next week with an all new episode of
the podcast.
Cliffhanger. Hello and welcome to the new and improved Real Monsters. I'm your host, Dr. Smoking Steen, and with me as always is my gorgeous co-host, Amy Rose.
Hi.
And today, this is the debut episode of the new Real Monsters. It's also a bit of an experiment, so we'll be tinkering with this a little bit for the next few weeks, but I think we got it down.
Hopefully.
We're going to, this is a companion piece to Mini Monsters now, to the Mini Souls. And we are going to go through the four topics that you chosen this week on the Minisodes, which are crop circles, William Suff, Levasan. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
I keep getting that wrong. And Elizabeth Battery.
Yeah.
So, and we're not going to do them in that order because I think some of them are more interesting than others. And I have more notes on two over. I have more notes on William Suff and Elizabeth Battery than I do on crop circles and Levasan.
How did you not find anything on crop circles?
It's not that I didn't find anything on crop circles. I can get right into crop circles. We'll do them first. But it's just, I don't find them, I don't know. Do you know what? Explain to the people what crop circles are first, and then I will give you my two cents on it.
So a crop circle, it can also be called a crop formation or a corn circle. It's a pattern created by flattening a crop, and usually a cereal. The term was first coined in the early 1980s by Colin Andrews. So they've been described as falling within the range of the sort of thing done in hoaxes by Tanner Edis, a professor of physics at Truman State University. So a lot of people get them mixed up as well with crop marks. Now, crop marks are archaeological features.
Yeah, you told me about them before with whatchamacallit above the fucking...
In Newgrange, in the Boyne Valley.
And that there's other ones around it that you can see from the sky from a drone view or a helicopter view.
Certain times of the year,
From the pattern in the grass.
But crop circles, obviously, like, what distinguishes them is that they're still cropped really there, it's bent.
Bent at the stalk, isn't it?
Bent at the stalk, yeah, exactly. So there are some say there's historical references to it. So in 1678, there is a news pamphlet called The Mowing Devil or Strange News Out of Hertfordshire. So that's claimed by some crop circle devotees to be the first depiction of a crop circle.
So from the start, was this seen as a UFO thing, or was this from the start seen as an art thing?
I am not sure, because there's a bit of pushback about that article by Jim Schnabel, if I'm saying his name right. So he doesn't consider he doesn't consider it to be a historical precedent because it describes the stalks as being cut rather than bent.
But that's just kind of, you know.
Tomato, tomato. Yeah, well, not really, hairs. Because... if something lands, but you see the whole thing, like, if something lands,
you just meant in general, but I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. It's quite obviously it's an artistic thing, but when I first heard of crop circles, it would have just been your standard UFO shape in the middle of a field, you know, a circle. There was no crazy designs. It wasn't like signs where you were getting, like, you know, these, and all the ones you see now that are really artistically done.
Maybe the aliens trying to contact us were more of the kind of primitive type back then, but they just...
Well, that's the other side of it, isn't it? Where they think that maybe it could be a message that they're sending rather than them landing. But it made more sense to me as a child when I first heard of it. That it was the ship landing and it taking off again.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea of it. Like,
Big question to people who have crop circles would be, and an easy way to figure out whether it was man-made or alien-made is... is it basic or is it a mad crazy pattern? And number two, are there burn marks? Is there radiation there? Is there anything there at all that would indicate that something took off from there?
I think what people cling to with that is you never see the pattern, the walking pattern into the crop circle for the people to have made it. There's never a trail.
But that's because you can walk amongst the crops. I know how they do the crop circles. I have seen videos. Because, like, I was going to say that that's what people need to get used to with this show is, you need to listen to Mini Monsters, because I will interrupt Amy, and sometimes we might not even get to the end of this story. We might move on afterwards because they're, you know, you'll hear a lot of it in Mini Monsters anyway. This is a companionship piece. So, I mean, we don't need to go fully into crop circles because I do want to spend more time on the other ones.
Are you telling me to shut up?
No. I'm just saying that I'm just jumping ahead a little bit with, I know how it's done. I know it's the thing, it's a board and some fucking rope.
They used to think it might be downdrafts, though.
I mean, they just...
genuinely
making the pattern.
Like in the 90, yeah, in the 19th century, there was this guy that
God is speaking to us through the
But he thought that, you know, when you see fairy rings, so they're like, you know, like the mushrooms in the rings, and he thought they were caused by a downdraft from like the sky. So then people were like, okay, well, maybe if they could be caused by a downdraft, maybe the crop circles are being caused by a downdraft of wind from the
how
sky.
How far back do the crop circles go?
Well, okay, so those aren't technically crop circles. They're fairy. They're.
But just in general, I'm just wondering how far back do they go when you say there's archaeological signs of it?
Did I say there's crop circles? Yeah. No, I'm saying crop marks are archaeological.
But just in general,
historical. Oh, historically, 1678 was in there. This new.
And what pamphlet. Do you think it was?
Considering it was called the Mowing Devil, I'm pretty sure it was the good old devil.
Oh, they just thought it was demon, again. Demonic yeah. shit, like.
Yeah, so the pamphlet tells of a farmer in Hertfordshire who, refusing to pay a price demanded by a labourer to mow his field, swore that he would rather the devil mowed it instead. So, yeah. Devil made
it. Does that work? Oh, instead of paying anyone to cut my grass or I cut my grass myself, I want the devil to do it. Devil, please come and cut my grass.
I wouldn't be mad if you put...
Come on, devil. You can put whatever pattern you want in it. Go wild, go crazy. It'll be on brand for us anyway, so people will buy it. Just do it. Just so I don't have to.
Okay. See this one plays out, Josh.
Hate cutting the grass.
Okay. Anyway. So then you had I remember these guys, Bower and Chorley, I think is how you pronounce it. But they were the guys that they're responsible for, like, 90%
is it
of the
in England?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're the guys I saw with the plank of wood and they're basically holding holding reins, kind of like the reins of a horse, like kind of
exactly.
Like, you know, like they have the rope over the board like that and they're stomping on in the board to make the pattern. Yeah.
And a lot of the crop circles as well in the UK, they're found kind of near places of historical and religious significance. So a lot of them are found near Stonehenge, and Avesbury is another... it's another prehistoric site. We've got three huge stone circles. It actually has the biggest stone circle in Europe, if not the world, I think. But a lot of crop circles in the UK as well are found near places. So you have to think like...
But that's it. But they're going to put them near places.
Exactly, it seems too obvious. Like.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember? And I actually saw one of these popped up again recently. I didn't click in the article. But do you remember those weird totems that were showing up around the world? They were the ones out of the Space Odyssey, the big fucking metal rod.
Metal things, There was one of those. Wasn't one of those in Ireland lately? Was that Scotland? Or did it just show up again the last few weeks?
But yeah, that's what that reminds you of. It's just kind of, you know, putting them in places of significance to try and make it stand out. And
I can imagine crop circles were eerie to people when they first started. I mean, those things were kind of eerie to me when it first started. It happened during lockdown, wasn't it? No?
Oh, yeah. The
big iron things.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of eerie at the start. Now they're just... Yeah.
Well, especially considering what was happening.
Oh, yeah,
the end
yeah.
of the world is happening and there's these random fucking rods showing up around the fucking world. We're fine. It's good. We survived.
Yeah?
We survived the apocalypse, people. But so the mowing devil, that's basically all it really is to crop out of circles, isn't there? I mean...
What? There has to be the devil?
No, but that's all there is to it. It's rather an artistic thing. It's an alien thing or a demonic thing. But, I mean, realistically, it's just artistic. Most people have come out. It's kind of like...
There are other theories, though, like freak tornadoes, ball lightning.
Fuck off with your freak tornadoes.
Ball lightning.
But did you... You know, I mean, some of them are very detailed, especially since signs came out. You know, they're extremely...
But there's still always that chance that freak tornado, it might be one in however many million, but that freak tornado could make that.
Somewhere in the multiverse.
Yeah, exactly.
It happened.
Sentient freak tornado. So there's the weather, there's obviously, there's the paranormal, mostly extraterrestrial. And then there's my favourite explanation, which is wallabies.
What?
So, in 2009, the Attorney General for the Island State of Tasmania...
I literally have a note right here in front of me that just says, Willy? Question mark. Willy question
oh,
mark.
Oh, yeah. That's like downdrafts. They're those downdrafts that I was on about.
Well, so this has nothing to do
just
with...
Just kind of wind. Yeah, right. No. These wallabies in Tasmania. So, it was the Attorney General... stated that wallabies had been found creating crop circles in fields of opium poppies, which were being grown for medicinal use. So after
Are
consuming them...
Are you telling
them,
me that the heroin addled fucking wallabies, that there wasn't one in there called Willy? Definitely Willy the heroin wallaby.
No. unfortunately.
I just picture fucking Chappelle as Tyrone Biggums. Willy Willy the Wallaby.
But I'm pretty sure it's
smoking up that poppy.
So a Willy Willy it's like a dust devil or a water spout kind of idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Willy Willy's like a devil thing.
No, like a dust devil, as in, do you ever
Zuzu? A nature devil, a nature kind of.
I would have thought like a dust devil was the natural kind of. Do you ever see it on TV?
Like a kind of.
2 seconds, because I'm finding this really hard to put into words.
Like a little tornado.
Yeah.
Like the Tasmanian devil running around the place.
See, I was about to say that, but I was like, this is going to sound ridiculous.
Well, no, everyone knows what Taz looks like when he's running around the place.
Yeah, a dust devil is a strong, well-formed, relatively short-lived whirlwind. Whirlwind was the word I was looking for, and I couldn't think of it.
Tornado.
Whirlwind. No, whirlwind. Tornado to me is massively destructive. Like, this thing is more like a gentle.
But they're very similar, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
And probably not the cause of crop circus.
That's true. But I would believe that it was the wallabies if they were like completely stoned, because they've done this with spiders where they've given spiders different drugs to see, like caffeine and heroin and things like that, to see what webs, and there's some of them that were actually quite cool, and then there were some of them that really, there weren't webs at all, they weren't catching anything in them.
Yeah, I think that was like meth and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, everything.
The harder,
yeah.
Really hard ones or something like that.
Was there was
like
one of them that was though genuinely class.
I believe it was the one I advocate usually.
I think it might have been acid.
It was LSD, yeah. Doing mushrooms probably as well.
Yeah.
I gotta look that up. If there's a video there, I'll put it up on TikTok.
Oh, the spider.
Allow me.
Oh, every single thing.
You tell them, you say TikTok sucks once on their website and suddenly
they scream everything. And then they're like, sorry guys, you got it wrong.
Information. Yeah, but I'm being really fucking bitchy back about it. Like when we put up they put up they put us up, it was
nice name, TikTok.
Misinformation, when it was a video about us talking about watching Poor Things and Immaculate.
Us explaining what happened to our internet, and they're like, misinformation.
And I messaged them back and I was just like, I can in fact ensure you that I did watch Immaculate and I did watch.
And this is my opinion
of the movie. We won every appeal. So
we did.
Go fuck them. Anyway, so do you have anything else on crop circles? Or have we done enough on crop circles?
We've kind of done enough on crop circles. I mean, like,
I didn't even think we were going to get 5.
See?
Next one I want to do is the French one. Let's get the Frenchie out of the way.
La voisin.
I'm only taking the piss French people because I know we have at least one French fan.
I don't know how to say that part. La voisin?
It sounds right to me.
Cool. So she was Catherine Monvoisin, or Née Deschaies, if I'm saying that right. My French is absolutely terrible.
Your French is better than mine, so don't even look at me asking.
So she was she was a French fortune teller. She was a commissioned poisoner, and she was.
I will remind you that this whole shift in shows happened because of my inability to pronounce names and the anger that would happen while
I
tried to do it.
You can do it when the mic's off, like.
I know. The minute I click pause, I can say the word again.
She was also a provider of alleged sorcery. So she was the head of a network of fortune tellers in Paris, providing poison, aphrodisiacs, abortions, magical services, and the arranging of black masses, which I've seen. I've seen this on TV, these black masses that she used to do where, like, the usual baby would be killed. And now, they're not sure if a baby was always killed or if the baby had died first, like, do you know?
Oh,
but, like, the blood of the baby would be used. And I always thought, I seen this in Versailles on TV.
You fucking women this week, didn't you?
But I seen it on TV and it looked so far-fetched that I was a bit like, And then when I was reading up on it, and it actually happened.
We watched Late Night with the Devil this week and I said it to you. I was like, fuck yeah. When we were watching, I was like, that Grove thing is real.
It's real.
And you were like, what? And I was like, the Grove thing is real. It's Bohemian Grove. It's a real thing. This actually happens. They go off into the woods and they do these, apparently, musicals for each other. Hundreds of men go into the woods together and do musicals and dramas and
whatever floats your boat, genuinely. I mean,
they really liked to keep highlighting that they pee and poop outside for these 2 weeks.
That's because it makes him feel manly.
Well, no, it was also feel manly used when in I court gotta do it. To avoid having to hire women.
What?
Well, they used it as an excuse in court to avoid having to hire women.
Because they pee and poop outside. Yep.
They didn't want the women to walk around, and on top of it, they didn't want to have to feel uncomfortable with it, and this was something that was traditional, and it was built into the club, and this is what they did, so this is just, you know, you'd have to put up with it. And, they didn't work out for them. I think they've still managed to keep women away from the club. They've had, like, two or three honorary members.
Mm-hmm. Nobody knows the honor members are right,
they allow them in as visitors a lot, like, you know, as guests. But none of them are allowed official status, I don't think, because, you know, the other guys don't want to be peeing and pooping outside with them while they do their musicals.
In
their posh tents.
I'm sure they could all chip in to afford a few porta potties, like. Genuinely.
But I think the point is, it's them getting back to nature, it's them being, you know. I mean, apparently, like, no business has spoken at this, because that's, like, one of the people who infiltrated it. One of them was Alex Jones, so we can't believe a word he says. The other one, I can't remember his name, but he said that it basically felt like a bunch of guys who had reached the pinnacle of their career, but mentally had never left the fraternity. You know, were still fucking frat boys and didn't know what to do with themselves outside of their job, like, you know. So these 2 weeks away in Bohemian Grove, and then all the other fucking stupid shit they do out throughout the year in Bohemian Grove was just basically dumb frat boy kind of shit.
Okay.
But because they kept it, and they're really secretive. I mean, like, they have got the top level security, fucking, like, ex-military guys, you know, protecting this place and watching it. So it's really hard to get in and out, and it's even worse when they're actually there. It's guarded year round, but when they're actually in, have an event on there, apparently it's like fucking next to impossible to get in and out there.
Try and infiltrate it.
If Alex Jones can do it, anyone can do it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it can't be.
Yeah. Can't be that fucking good.
Unless they've tightened things since he managed it.
Fucking hell. But that's what she reminded me of, because they had they're rumored to have these black masses, and that was in Late Night with the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of that fucking movie is that he might have done something at the Grove that led to misfortune.
Yeah.
But I can imagine, well, the cult in it, the black masses there. Do you remember the cult? It was very much kind of that kind of style as well, wasn't it?
Out in the woods.
Did they kind of hint? No, do you remember where the possessed girl comes from?
Oh, she was the sacrifice. Did they not kind of hint
that there was baby sacrifices there as well? I'm not too sure. Can't remember.
We should probably watch it again. We will watch it again.
It was a good movie.
But anyway, so the thing about Lev was that the thing that I think is most interesting about her, that it even happened at the time, was that her most important client was Madame de Montespan. So she was the official royal mistress to King Louis XIV of France at the time. So it was alleged that Montespan hired Lev Voisin in 1667 to arrange a black mass, and that the mass was celebrated in a house in Paris. So there was two kind of prominent fortune tellers of the time, I suppose you'd call them. They officiated the black mass, and Montespan prayed that, you know, the king would love her. So it kind of actually worked.
Okay.
So basically she became the mistress of the king that year.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like one note I have written down here from when you were reading it on Mini Monsters, and that was, she sounds like a comic book or a sci-fi bad guy.
Well, yeah, she kind of didn't turn down anything, did she? She provided, she had a whole ring of abortionists. Like she there was this scandal called...
I also have a note here that says, I'd have cleaned up back then with those gullible fools.
Oh yeah, that was the fortune telling. She was also, like a central figure in this thing called the Affaire de Poisson. And so that was basically, it was a major murder scandal in France. And there was more than a few prominent members of the aristocracy were all poisoning each other. And obviously the poison was coming from her and her poison ring. France seems cutthroat. It seems lovely now, but it seemed cutthroat back then.
But I only realised this week when, again, after hearing Mini Monsters and listening to you read it, and then, you know, all that talk about poison, and I kind of stopped and I thought to myself, I was like, if anybody could kill me, it was you. It would be you, because I wouldn't question anything you've given me to eat or drink ever. Easily poison you. Anything she wants, so she
can do it. I've heard that about you before, but still I'm like, he's never going to do it.
Oh, yeah, but that's it. No. Obviously, I eat all your food. I trust you.
Or now that I know I've got your trust. She used to make love powders as well. And the love powders, they'd have the bones of toads, the teeth of moles, Spanish fly, iron filings, human blood, and mummy, which isn't actually mummy. So it's not like, I know I've said before that Victorians were awful for eating and sprinkling mummy dust everywhere. But this mummy is, it's basically, how would you describe it? It's kind of like mineral pitch. It looks like tar, like, so it's more of a substance that you kind of like grind down, as opposed to a mummy that they got in Egypt. Yeah, because there is two different ones, but like the mummies, the powdered mummies would be were used, but just
powdered mummy. Can I have some powdered mummy? Yeah. That would explain why I have a note here saying wicker man chemist.
Oh, yeah. She used to use not mummies, but like human remains. So they weren't mummies, but like they were big humans, like being broken down and put into those love potions as well. I'd love to know if the love potions worked, because getting off with the king worked.
But I mean, that could work in modern day with just the right fucking pheromone spray, couldn't it?
Yeah, what do you call that thing? Vabbing? Is that what you call it? The thing that I was sad about? Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it. No, your but apparently that works fragrance. As well. No, yuck. So she was arrested and convicted of witchcraft, and she was burned like 2 days afterwards. The thing about her was she had... Her connections were so strong that when she was arrested, there was technically an order in place to get her information by like torturing her. But it was never put into effect because the king was too worried about whose names were going to come out and who was going to be implicated. I didn't know there
if you were going to say her connections were good, like the Godfather's connections were good, or her connections were good, like her connections to the other side were so good that people were afraid to do shit. I questioned those
connections, but no, her connections were Godfather good, like as in like she had her hand in absolutely fucking everything. She
darked on everybody.
Everybody. She was... I suppose you would have, in her profession, she was very well respected.
So why didn't she ratten them all before she was put to fire then? If it would have gotten
she was still, it wasn't going to get it. She was still going to be burned. She was still going to be...
So she went out like a proper gangster in the end, a proper mafia. Oh, yeah,
but I mean, like, if you have this woman who you just proved killed babies for masses, fucking how many abortions, sold poison, you were never going to get out of the death penalty, like.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, we're going to cover a topic later. And where
if
she
you
did.
Know, if you know that you're not being tortured because you're not giving away names,
hold on 1 second.
Why make it worse for yourself?
We are literally at the end of the show going to cover a woman who did just as bad a shit, possibly very similar stuff, and she didn't get the death penalty. She didn't fucking get killed.
Because she had connections. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because it's all bullshit. 90% of it. The woman was framed.
Oh, Amy's a conspiracy theorist.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just believe that women... I believe that women were treated very poorly and that a lot of shit was pinned on a lot of influential people, women, because they had power and influence at the time.
I will leave soft to last because I think you want to get into this one because it fits nicer in because they are pretty very, very similar.
Very similar, except one was guilty. Definitely guilty.
Well, I have all that written down here as well, and it was one of the first things I put down was propaganda and question mark, like, you know. But do you want to head into it and tell us a little bit about Elizabeth Bathory? Okay.
So, Elizabeth Bathory was a Hungarian noblewoman and alleged serial killer from the Bathory family who owned land in the Kingdom of Hungary, which is now Slovakia. So she and four of her servants were accused of torturing and killing hundreds of girls and women from 1590 to 1610. Her servants were put on trial and they were convicted, where, as you said, Bathory was just imprisoned. And she died under mysterious circumstances.
Her servants sound hilarious and scary at the same time. It sounds like a horror movie.
It does that. It would make a good... I don't know. I've seen movies about it, but true movies. Dracula. I haven't seen a horror movie.
With Ingrid Pitt. Who Ooh, is extremely animated on the documentary Ingrid I watched Pitt, I have to about watch that. Elizabeth Bathory.
She was my first woman alleged serial killer that I ever read about. And I just been fascinated by the whole fucking thing.
Well, that's because it is a fascinating story. You know, I mean, obviously, it's a fascinating story. They're kind of crediting her with possibly being an influence for Dracula. And you could see why.
But there was no notes ever found in Stoker's journals. Do you know, like the journals where he would have had his rough work? Like huge, like I suppose mind maps, although I'm sure Stoker didn't use mind maps. I still use mind maps. Yeah. But anyway, but they never found anything saying that, like, do you know, like,
yeah, but
influence.
Remember before when we were covering the Maniac, Frank Zito, and I wrote that whole script, and I had to write the backstory between him and his mom.
Yeah.
And then when I finished writing it, and I had it all fucking finished and done, and we were recording it, you turned around, and you were like, why do I keep forgetting this guy? Ed Kemper's story.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like, fuck, you're right. So, I mean, it could be in the back of your head.
Dracula kind of lines up with Vlad Tepes.
Does it?
Yeah.
But wasn't he just the fucking warmonger?
He was Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah,
that's where he got the inspiration. He was traveling around, apparently.
Well, I'm getting that. I'm just saying, I don't know. It does not say there mightn't have been this background.
She's clearly true. Allegedly drinking blood.
I had no idea that I was writing Kemper's story until you pointed out to me. And I was like, holy shit, yeah, that's just a Kemper story mixed in with Maniac. And I was like, well, that kind of suits what we're doing anyway, so that's fine. We'll go with that.
But the thing about Elizabeth, she was from a hugely influential on both sides of a family, and she married into an influential family.
The documentary I was watching said that her family would have been brutal, vicious, bloodthirsty, so that she was brought up around violence from a very early age. They told one story about... there was this one guy, I can't remember the backstory to it, but the way they killed him was they cut open a horse, put him inside the horse, and stitched the clothes with only his head hanging out and left the board of him there to die. And she witnessed all this happening. So she was kind of around it.
She was made witness things like that on purpose. Like, she was trained to be cruel because that's how the family lived. Like.
And I will say as well that nearly everybody, even the people who would be on your side, said that she was definitely 100% cruel and violent to her servants. But they also added that every noble person was cruel and mean to her.
It's not a stereotype.
Because they were there to be used and played with and to do what they want with.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you believe the story of her serial killing, no one really gives a shit about what she's doing until she starts killing noble women or daughters of noble men and stuff like that.
Oh, come here. It seems that like around the time that Bathory was around, when you go kind of further over into Europe, like the Italians, there's stories there that are vicious. There's this one guy that used to pose like his enemies that he'd killed like in Last Supper formation, like one by one, like they'd Doomsday go in killer. Like... there's a lot of nasty stories.
Next week. Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Forgot
but, that. But see, that's the other thing. Like, the documentary I watched was by, what's her fucking name again? I have it written here somewhere. She's the one that writes the crime books.
Nicola, no, it's an N word.
I wrote this down so that I wouldn't forget her name because I always forget her name. Always, always, always forget her name.
But starts with N, I'm almost sure.
I can't think of it. And it's not here in front of me for some reason.
1 minute.
Cole, I think, might be her second name.
What's it called?
Martina Cole. Is it Martina Cole?
That sounds familiar.
But, she's a proper fucking London girl. The only thing that was weird, though, she pronounced some words really weird in that documentary.
Like what?
Like decade.
Decade?
Decade. I was like, what? It sounds like she's saying dickhead really, really fast.
Where's she from?
Oh, it's London. It's out. No, I mean, she sounds like she could be fucking in EastEnders. Like. She sounds like she could be Danny Dyer's fucking... Decade? She sounds like she could be Danny Dyer's fucking sister. Like. But Martina Cole, yeah, I'm pretty sure. She had a good TV show there at one point. I'm pretty sure Tom Hardy was in it. It was on Sky. It was only like a 3 or 4 part of miniseries, but it was all gangster stuff. She writes all kind of, yeah, UK kind of mafia shit is what she writes.
Yeah.
You know? But it was her documentary series of, you know, the world's most dangerous women.
Oh,
and this was that. This episode was obviously on Elizabeth.
And how did she speak about it? How did she feel about
she
it?
She reckons the it's kind of split down the middle where there's a lot of evidence to show that she was.
That there was something.
She said that she probably was a serial killer. Uh-huh. Probably was a violent serial killer. Probably was. Probably did torture a lot. But that the drinking and bathing in blood stuff was all made up. Probably made up. And that the cleaning up of her image is known to have been something that happened in Hungary at some period. That at a period of time that the Hungarians decided they, the first of all, when she was arrested and she was locked up, mm-hmm. that a lot of documents and records were burnt to get rid of any evidence of her. And then when it was out there, they tried to start cleaning up her image by saying that she was running back alley abortions clinics for women who couldn't get abortions legally, and that she was doing medical work, and that's why it seemed like there was these women going to her castle or house or whatever and not coming back. They were going to get abortions and it was going wrong, okay. because it was, and that's why they were dying and going missing. And that was the reason, that's why the Hungarians were claiming was the reason behind it, and that her name had been tarnished because the men of the time wanted to take possession of her land. Because obviously her husband was a very influential man as well, a rich man, and he had a lot of property and a lot of power.
Yeah.
And when he died in battle, and he was like, I have that written down as well, that was a match made. That was an arranged marriage made in fucking heaven. Yeah. Like they were crazy about it. Because I have that written here as well as the Great. That it reminds, their story reminds me of the Great, except she's also evil.
Yeah.
But it just seemed kind of like they were set for each other. But to me, if you believe everything, it sounds like someone with a lot of money.
Who got more?
A huge sex drive.
Yeah.
And just kept taking things to the extreme, and there was no one there to tell her to stop.
I would say, though, that there is some ground in her drinking the blood and bathing in the blood, even, because she was known to have fits, and they think that it might have been epilepsy. And a common cure for epilepsy at the time was to like rub the blood of a non-sufferer on your lips, or you give the
Does that work?
No, it was no. That's why I said the cure at the time.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Well, I mean, they must have tried this at some point and it stopped, and then they must have tried it on somebody else and it stopped. So I was just wondering, is this
Do you know what they also tried and it didn't stop? Was drilling fucking holes in people's skulls.
That's true too, yeah.
Just
well, it worked for what they wanted it to do at the time.
Yeah. Or else they give the epileptic person a mix of the non-sufferer's blood and a piece of the skull then after the fit ended.
Okay.
So the person was dying. Like, they're giving you a piece of the skull. Like. So, I mean, if she was epileptic, that could be a reason for... I mean, like, you shouldn't be going around killing people. But
There seems to be a lot of fucking... They could go anyway with this fucking woman. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot of different avenues. Like, I mean, we said that a lot of people say that it was just a case of people wanting the men wanting to come in and take her land because she was a very powerful she held on to the husband's power like when he died,
mm-hmm.
and which was uncommon for the time,
mm-hmm.
and she was kind of business wise she was in a very powerful position, like, she was, you know,
yeah,
and again for a woman at that time. And I mean, what's all this shit about Transylvania then? If you're saying that she's no fucking relation to Dracula and she's hanging around, you cannot tell me that the woman that they fucking believed soaked in blood and drank blood and happened to have a castle in Transylvania has nothing to fucking do with Dracula.
So her...
That never, ever, ever crossed Bram Stoker's mind of, do you know who else fucking came from Transylvania that drank blood?
So her brother was kind of like a ruler in Transylvania. Her paternal great-grandmother was a member of the influential Polish-Lithuanian Radziwill family. And then she was a niece through her mother of Stephen Bathory, who was the Prince of Transylvania. So he actually became King of Poland. So, I mean, she did have connections, but I mean, like, Bathory and Tepes, they're different.
I know. I know they're different. All I'm saying is that when the man picked Transylvania as the backdrop, when the Irishman picked the Romanian fucking town of Transylvania as his fucking backdrop for his blood drinking demon fucking story. Mm-hmm. Surely, at some point in his research, this woman popped up.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, he had to have put the connection of the woman who is known for drinking fucking virgin blood to Transylvania. I made that connection, like, had to happen.
Okay.
So she has to have some influence in Dracula.
Yeah, no, I can see how.
Well, yeah, what is that? I have something else here that I wanted to say about her. And now I can't remember. But do you know what she reminded me of as well? Was in fucking Outlander. Do you know the way, like, they were, I'm always saying, like, the way fucking, what's the name? Claire, first, that's her, yeah?
Gets herself into trouble every fucking episode.
Well, I'll tell you that. Showing some of her medical ideas from the future could get her. So I've often said it, like, why are they not screaming witch at this woman? Do you know?
They did.
I know that, but it seems like, as well, like what I was saying, that could have been a part of this as well. That, you know, this woman might have just been fucking medically minded. But that doesn't make sense,
does it? That doesn't make sense. There was girls being sent to her house for etiquette lessons that weren't coming back, like.
And she had, I'm sorry, but she had an evil fun-size friend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, her gang, she had a gang, like a weird, creepy gang. And when I was listening to the documentary, it sounded like fucking the Firefly house from fucking House of 1000 Corpses.
Okay.
I mean, there was one thing they were like, that she was like, was she like whipping some woman while two of her other servants who helped her kill were hooting her on? And they described the small person as screaming sexual slurs.
So hang on, is this when she was caught? Because it's the common misconception that she was actually at dinner when they said about her getting caught.
What they said basically was that she had been doing it for years when it came to servants and peasants.
Yeah,
nobody gave a shit. And then she was starting to run out of servants and peasants and stopped giving a shit. And suddenly it was any girl she could get her hand on.
Yeah.
And there was, that documentary did lean in as well on her being bisexual. And that she had that it was a sexual thing, like, you know, that she was turned on by all this killing and blood and all this kind of stuff and taking it as far as she can.
Yeah.
But that it was when she started taking out noblemen's daughters.
Oh, exactly.
That the noblemen. Yeah. Had an or the king or something had a I don't know emperor I can't remember emperor probably emperor had a an investigation launched against her, and then they managed to get the evil fun size man. All I can picture is the leprechaun. They got the leprechaun guy, and they got her other two servants to confess, and they were put to death. They tortured and put to death.
Oh, they had their fingers ripped off and all.
And she was basically put on house arrest in her nice massive palace
for
the rest of her life, which wasn't very long, I believe. Was it like a couple of years?
There's some stories about that she was basically holed up in a room as well. And then
it was a suspicious death as well. There was something about it being a suspicious death. I don't know exactly what that suspicious
I think she
death
said
was.
What, she it was kind of like the one evening she said, oh, it's cold. And then like her soldier or her guard, whatever, said, oh, look, it'll be fine. Just go to sleep. So she just went to sleep. Just
didn't wake up.
Yeah. It's not an exciting death. I mean, she could have been poisoned or whatever. I mean, they weren't going to do an autopsy on her.
No. So at that point, they were probably just happy to.
Especially
if it was true. What do you think? Do you think, like,
I think it was probably pure propaganda. I think it was true to a certain extent. I do believe, though, that it was exaggerated. That it was exaggerated. Like, if she was
as well back then, like, what else are they going to be talking about? That's going to be like your horror movie.
Yeah.
So they are going to exaggerate it, and that story's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's Chinese whispers. Eventually, Joe, by the time we get to this era, it's something completely fucking different from what actually happened at the time.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, all historical, which brings me to my next question. This is your first week doing it.
What?
How did you find covering?
No, I didn't like it.
A real serial killer.
I didn't like it.
Historical is easier because you can disassociate. Uh-huh. But when you're talking about some fat cunt from the 90s going around strangling and cutting off boobs, it all gets a bit more real.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it.
And that will be our last subject of today. William Suff.
I think those ones you might do the next time. We'll do one heavy one a week, and you can do that.
This was it. No, to be honest, this was picked at random.
Yeah.
But when I read it to myself, it was like, the reason I had to fucking dive into this was I could not understand how this guy could be from the 90s and we haven't
heard of him. I've never heard of him. I don't know.
He could be John Wayne Gacy's brother.
Yeah, looking at him. Yeah.
They're identical to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same weird face. Mm. They literally look like brothers.
But he's a guy that never showed, like, he bet his 2-month-old daughter to death, and after that, he should never have been let out of jail.
No, I suppose, yeah, okay, all right, I won't make you go through all
I'm not
again.
Talking about, no.
I was going
to word it differently, like, but then when I was talking about it, and, like, the names are there, like, you kind of have to name them, as in, I don't know.
It gets heavy. It can get heavy.
Yeah.
You kind of have to disassociate yourself a little bit from the what you're reading. That's why I think, again, this has been pointed out in other podcasts I listen to.
Mm.
Sometimes that's the reason you haven't heard of people like William Suff. Why you have heard of Gacy, why you have heard of Bundy, why you had heard of Dahmer is because as much as Dahmer, Bundy, Gacy, and I don't know, fucking Jack Ripper and all that would be maybe your Mount Rushmore of serial killers, the ones everybody knows.
Mm.
They're the ones everyone knows because they're the easiest stories to digest.
Yeah.
And then when you get into someone like William Suff and you see his background and it's like, this person is absolutely fucking stomach-turning, really disgusting, and I don't want to. It is where I was kind of borderline with BTK, but BTK's story was so fucking interesting. Backstory was so interesting. He was a boring motherfucker, but it was just so interesting how he managed to balance everything and work everything.
Yeah.
And again, very similar to the person I'm going to cover this week, next week on the show, and on
he's able to live
It's
a
Alive Alive. And episode 2 of the series we're about to get into, the guy we'll be talking about in episode 2 is heavily fucking inspired by Dennis Rader. But it is a lot fucking harder. So William Suff, hang on, I don't have his information up in front of me. I only have notes. I'll pull up his info here. I'm not going to get into detail. If you want the details, listen to Mini Monsters on all good podcast providers right now. But basically, he was known as the Riverside Prostitute Killer and the Lake Eisner Killer. He had a shit. Yeah, they were shit nicknames. Do you know what they were? But so Terrell is how you pronounce that word, woman's name. He wore one of the she got in a little bit of trouble for this too, but it seems like her conviction was reversed, but it doesn't seem like she's to blame. She didn't seem like a terrible woman. And again, it wasn't exactly like he went on to not beat his other kids. So, I mean, yeah.
But there wasn't enough evidence to convict her as like an accomplice or as primary.
No, she was at work. He kind of like, how do I describe it? He hooks up with her. They fall in love with each other.
Okay.
They do. They fall for each other and they hook up. And I think at the time he had already started killing, from what I know. Let me check here. 74 was when he started killing. He was with her in 76, the conviction happened. So 74. No, yeah. So he about the same time. So yeah, maybe this kid was his first kill, I would assume.
Yeah.
But basically, what they reckon happened here was they got married. Married, and she got pregnant.
Mm.
And then she had the kid.
Mm.
And the problem was he was a psychopath with no feeling and had no emotion towards the child whatsoever. Jesus. So, well, first she actually had another child with somebody else.
Oh, how did that child fare?
Sorry. She had a child with somebody else.
Aww.
And he asked her to marry him. And she said no because, look, I'm pregnant by someone else and I don't want you to have it. And he said, no, I'll take care of the kid. And he joined the Marines.
Hmm.
And when she got to the base, he told her, sorry, no kids are actually allowed in the base. So he sent the child to go live with his parents.
Okay.
And Yuan just had to give up her child like for this period of time. And then she got pregnant with his kid.
Okay.
And because he had no emotion or feeling towards the child was just an inconvenience. And at the same time, he lost his position. He got kicked out of the army.
Shit.
So she's going out to work now every day and he's minding the kid.
Mm.
But
he can't take it.
The best way that this criminologist explained it on the documentary was, it was like a case of stuff that he could use against on his wife to get his way. He was trying to use on a fucking 3-month-old, 4-month-old baby.
How do you mean? Oh.
So like, you know, like where he could fucking intimidate and scream and hit his
wife. He was trying to do that. Okay.
He was trying to do this to a baby who just starts screaming harder when you hurt it, or starts screaming harder when you roar to make loud noises at it. And which was frustrating him. So he was getting more violent with the child.
Of course,
And apparently like the wife had said it to him a few times, like to, you know, that she was going to leave him if he kept going. And then he rang her at work one day and said the baby isn't breathing, like, and she had to come home. And what he did was he blamed his son, his older son who was there at the time, and said the son was fucking hugging the baby too hard and didn't know he was doing it and obviously killed the baby. But they were saying that didn't line up at all with medical fucking things.
Yeah, the marks and all.
No, yeah, there was cigarette fucking Jesus marks on his child, like. So obviously they didn't buy that fucking story, and he was supposed to do 20 years and did 10,
did
I 10. Think.
Did 10.
Was it 20 years he got? Hang on one second.
He was sentenced to 17, did 10. He was released on parole in 1984.
Fucking hell. Mm-hmm. And the more, again, look, if you want the gory, dirty details, listen to Mini Monsters. It's up there. Episode 112, I think. So you can get into it and you can go through all the victims. There's Rhonda Jetmore, Kimberly Little, Christina Leal, Darla, Jane Ferguson, Carol Lynn Miller, Cheryl Croker, Susan Melissa Strenfeld, Kathleen Leslie Millen, Sherry Ann Latham, Kelly Marie Hammond, Catherine McDonald, Delia Zamora, Eleanor Casares, fucking hell, Michelle
Yvette
Gutierrez, Charlotte Jean Palmer, Linda Anna, or fucking hell, I thought there was only like 12 of these.
No,
Martha Bess Young, Diana Maytella, Elvira, Julie Lynn Angel, and Cherie, Michelle Passour. So this guy, his MO was fucked up because he'd get the prostitute, sleep with them, and then he would strangle them and cut off their boobie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was wondering when it came to the cutting off the boob thing, because of the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the only guy to do this. It's only the guys that have been on Mindhunter. I can't remember their fucking names. Jerry. I'll get it. Jerry.
Hi.
Jerry. Fuck! Jerry with the shoe fetish.
Jerry.
Fuck. Jerry Brunos. I don't know why I'm even bringing him up now, because I was so busy trying to think of him.
Oh, he cut off the breast.
Oh, yeah, he was another guy who cut off the boob. He used to use them as paperweights.
Yeah, I've actually
and he told, and the wife would see him around the house, and she'd think they were novelty things he bought or made, like, and then didn't think anything of it.
Jesus.
And the Chicago Rippers used to do the same thing. And I was just wondering in my own head, because of the timeline, and because a lot of these guys then would act like they're completely fucking, you know, homophobic.
Hmm.
And then you had Brunos, who was trying on women's shoes and stuff like that, and had a fascination with women's shoes. Do you think that there might have been a thing, because trans wasn't as open and easy back then, in their mind that was the thing, like that they were angry at the women for having something they wanted, that they wanted to be the woman, like almost like think? Buffalo Bill style, you know, I'm going to build a woman's suit, like, you know.
Oh, but you.
Instead of building ones, they're taking out their aggression by removing the sign of their womanly kind of features, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
After they had already done dirty things to them themselves, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's just thought. And then this guy as well, like, and this is the reason I was so surprised I haven't heard of him as well, is when they finally started linking his cases, right?
Mm.
And they built a task force for this.
Okay.
He started fucking mocking them a little bit.
How do you mean?
He started picking them up and posing the bodies closer to the police station.
Yeah.
One girl, this is a really fucking, he picked up one girl and she felt really uncomfortable in the car.
Okay.
And he basically made a deal with her, and he took her to McDonald's, and he went in, got her burger and stuff and all that, and she was eating in the car. And he basically said, let's go here and we'll have sex. And she was like fucking feeling like she knew something was wrong.
Okay.
And as he was about to take off on a McDonald's, she jumped out of the van and ran away. And he was kind of screaming at her. And then she said she ran away, but she kind of fell over. And then she saw him pulling up down the road. And she saw her friend, who's also a prostitute,
get into the van and start
talking to him. And she was screaming at her, saying, "Don't get in the van, don't get in the van, don't get in the van." And she got in the van. And he went away and he raped and killed her.
Jesus.
And then he took that body. Mm-hmm. And this was the freshest body they found.
Okay.
He put her down an alleyway close enough to the police station, but he had her legs spread open wide and naked. Okay. And left her there. And he had a thing of doing this as well. Like he would, you know, pose the body, he'd leave them out in the open and stuff like that. He got done for 12 out of the 13 murders because one of the bodies was found on a patch of green behind a gas station. And when the detectives were there trying to collect evidence,
yeah,
the sprinkler fucking system turned on.
Oh,
and it was tainted the evidence. And there was two pockets of semen found in this woman. And one of them were his, so they know it was him, but the other one was someone else's. And because the evidence had been washed away and tainted, they couldn't prove it, so they could never get a conviction on that last one.
Fuck. Yeah.
But they got a conviction on all the other ones. And they were saying the worst part about this guy was, it's similar to what we were just talking about with Elizabeth Battery.
Yeah.
Because they were hookers, they got a small task force and they put a little bit of manpower into it.
Mm-hmm.
If this was college girls getting picked off in the same manner, yeah, there would have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men on the force looking for him.
Absolutely.
And like, he went down, like, I mean, he went down a killing spree. That was another thing. Like, they left out a little bit of evidence, you know, a little thing in the newspaper that the chief of police, I don't know, he decided to leave. I don't know what logic, what they expected to happen here. Because the minute they said what they did, I knew what was coming. They left it out in the newspaper that he primarily targeted white women and had moved on to Mexico or to Latino women.
Okay.
And they were his primary suspects, but he never touched black women. Next target, black woman.
Woman.
As in saying, fuck you, you don't know who I'm going for. I'll take what I want. You know, there's nothing you can do to stop me,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
In the end, the girl that got away, that saw her friend go into the car, was able to give him a good description and give him a description of the car and a description of him. The van. And they eventually convinced the police to put more money into a kind of, there was just going to be a week long hardcore search where they were going to stop everybody. They were going to watch for everyone. They were watch for this van, mm-hmm, watch for this suspect. And they knew where he's trolled. It was University Avenue.
Okay.
And they were going to watch that area. Yeah. And anyone trying to pick up hookers, it was like, pull them over and check them.
Mm-hmm.
So he, this motorcycle cop, saw the van, followed him going down to University Avenue, and waited for him, and he made an illegal turn or something, and the cop pulled him over. And he said, once the cop got a look at him, he was like, this guy looks like the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
The car. Oh, and that was the other thing. The evidence left behind at the scenes where it was building up against him was the tire marks on the van.
Okay.
And his shoes.
Oh, so the shoe print.
They took a shoe imprint and made a 1-to-1 scale size and then went to every shoe shop they could and checked every sole of every shoe to find the shoe.
Did they do this to Ted Bundy as well?
No, they did it to Ramirez.
Ramirez, that's who it was.
And then his girlfriend, he had another girlfriend with another baby and he was doing the same shit to the baby again, the new baby.
Jesus.
But she bought him a pair of Converse shoes for Christmas or his birthday or something and he wore them. And they got an imprint of that. But then they were able to tell that there was four. They were able to, because of the tire marks at the scenes, they were able to match the four tires, what brand of tires they would be, to the grooves on them and what position they'd be on the van.
Okay.
So when they pulled him over, he rang his superiors and his superior was like, what brand is the front tire driver's side? And he was like, this is the brand. Okay, what brand is the tire backside tire? Right. Check that one. That matches up. Freeze the scene. We have him. And then when they called him, they found a knife in there that had blood on it.
Yeah.
They found that the carpet in the back of the van matched fibers found on all the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty much done, but he wouldn't admit to anything. He said something strange. I can't remember what it was. He said something strange.
Is he dead now?
He's on death row. Ugh. He's still on death row.
Okay.
And that's the thing. And the thing, the fucked up thing about it is as well, was another girl got away earlier on.
Mm.
And I said this again. I said it in some show we were talking about it lately. I still believe it. They let this guy get through his fingers because he did a bad job at his first attempted murder. Attempted murder should be treated exactly like a murder charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you attempt it and fail, just means you were bad at killing. You still had the mentality to do it and go for it. You're getting the same charge as a murder charge. And that would have stopped this guy before he started.
100%.
Instead, he ran through 13, at least that they know of. Mm. They suspect much, much more when it comes to this guy. But 13 that they know of, that he was responsible for. And John was fucked up. This is a really fucked up story. He's one of his last, was it his last one? The black girl.
Yeah.
When she was found, he used to work a kind of delivery driver for office supplies and all. That's kind of like, you know, fucking desks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He had two detectives in from the task force who were just being put on the case as well, who were there to collect their office furniture to go to the office to fucking try and find him. And they got a message, you know, they got a fucking beeper saying, oh, we have, you know, contact us. And they asked him, can we use the phone here to call dispatch? And he was standing there listening to the two cops on the phone discussing the murder he had just committed.
Jesus.
And he really felt like he was ahead of him the whole time. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I know it's a terrible story. And it is. Fucking documentary was rough to get through. And, you know, when they were going through the numbers of the sheer, you know, it was like, I felt like I was getting near the end of the documentary. And suddenly it was like, and then there was this person. And there was this person. And there was this person. It was like, fuck. The story is intriguing.
Yeah.
But I suppose then when you put in, like, baby murder and getting away with it. And that's what they said. When he's in jail, he's the fucking perfect prisoner.
That's why he got out of it,
that's
right?
That's 10 years. Because he was a perfect prisoner.
Yeah.
Did not put a toe out of line when he was in prison.
It's disgusting.
And as soon as he was out, he was... And he looks disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
He is. If he wasn't a killer, you'd say he's the creepy uncle that fiddles with people.
Yuck.
Yeah, you know,
yuck, don't. Kitty fiddler. Yuck.
But instead, he was a prostitute killer. And it's nasty. And they reckon that was the thing with the baby. He just had no fucking emotion. Complete sociopath. Had no fucking emotion towards the baby. Had no feeling towards the baby. So couldn't have that connection with it. So it didn't bother him what happened to it. It was just an inconvenience at that point. You know?
Yeah.
It was just lucky. I think the second mother kind of took a bit of charge and said, like, you do this again, we're leaving. Oh, yeah,
I'm gone. Fucking hell.
Oh, take a page out of Wendy Torrance's book, lock him up into a fucking pantry and get the fuck out of there. Christ. Okay, I will tell you, this is our first episode of Real Monsters, New Real Monsters, and I like New Real Monsters a whole lot more than I like Real Monsters.
Yeah.
I like Real Monsters, but I didn't have as much freedom and I wasn't taught
about stuff.
That's
it, it's more free-flowing, it's nice.
This was fun and I enjoyed this and I can't wait to do it again next week. So I can do it more than once a week.
See you 10 o'clock next Sunday.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I think this first episode was a success.
Yeah,
so we gotta see what more we pick for next week. You'll know at this point now, people are gonna know, right? When they click on to our page, or our Spotify page, or iTunes page, whatever, and they see the little clip art next to the album cover art, when they see your face, they'll be like, oh, that's okay, that one's a safe one thing. And as soon as they see my face, now I'm one of those, they're just going to think there's booby cutting in this one. Someone's getting their tits chopped off, turn it on.
That's true. I only pick one every so often that you can do, but I need an easy week.
Oh, God. Okay. So you get this free this week on our main stream. If you want to hear this every week, head on over to Patreon. At the moment, it is at Alive Pod. We're currently transitioning to into a new page,
more
tidy page with everything set up. Okay. And we'll get to that soon. But for now, you can go there and we will redirect you when we need to, right? We will redirect you to the Harvest. Until next week, see you later.
Bye-bye. Ooh.